Hello, and Saturday the 5th, to continue side 2. To extricate myself from this growing sense of monotony, of deja vu, see there, my muscle lingualism is striking to the fore, I decided to make the big and quick jump to Legazpi in the southeast resort. First to Manila, departing from San Fernando. A relatively boring town. Of one note in San Fernando before leaving was a sunset the night before I left. The little hotel nearly the top of the hill overlooking the town, from which I can see its own really pleasant views. I don't actually even sit back and wonder what the blazes you're doing in this part of the world. That's what I did. Anyway, to Manila, 6 hours by bus, of which the last hour was stuck in northern Manila, traffic jams on a Saturday. Yes. But fortunately, arriving in Manila, I was able to pick up the last seat in the bus to head southeast. This was a long journey. Yes. There I was. It was the worst seat was at the back in the corner. But then I thought it better than actually sitting around in Manila waiting for something to happen. Manila does not give one a very comfortable feeling. There's two aspects to Manila as such. One is a heavy security presence. Not being so much the army, not the police, not the regular security, but the irregular security in the form of private security guards, of which there is nearly one outside every building. Certainly that was the case in Amusia, and in the centre of town. The really upmarket security centre to the south, McCarthy, had fewer security guards, but they were also armed. All in all, leading one to a very worried impression. What would actually happen if something did happen? You could be cut, there's not being cut in the gunfight of the OK Corral. The other aspect about life in Manila is a high level of violence in general. People get killed quite easily. Tourists are generally left alone. They just get robbed. But you got to be very careful. As I was. But anyway. There I was, heading off down into the southeast of the country, little knowing that at the same point in time, platoons of 24 in the Manila Army had just been kidnapped in the area. This was a right-wing guy getting back to the government. But anyway. The roads were of poor condition for at least half the trip. Make that about 3/4 of the trip. Repairs everywhere. Little repairs. A little bit here, a little bit there. Every time they do a repair, they cause more damage to the remaining roads. Night falls, as does the rain, until in the early hours we arrive in Legazpi. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I've often wondered, what would you do at 4 o'clock in the morning? I mean, no one had paid for that night's accommodation. So anyway, I walked around for a little bit, meeting the various drugs that were being thrown out of the various nightclubs that hour in the morning, and sampling some of the bread in the bakeries that were just opening. What a contrast. Staying under fresh. Anyway, there I was in Legazpi early, walking around, eventually arrived in my little hotel, where, rather than wake anybody up, I thought I'd sit back, savour the sunrise, and look at the neon volcano. Because that was why I was in Legazpi. Yes, I was to find the neon volcano. Anyway, there I was. The city, it was the Spanish actually called it the city, although I think it's more closely linked to a town, lying a few kilometres from this wonderful, towering, striking volcano, once described as the most perfect conical shaped volcano in the world, until it blew its top a few years ago. The lava flows to the sea are visible, a grim reminder of the power which lurks below its deceptive facade. Even last year, in 1993, various lava flows disrupted life in this part of the world. Frequent signs of buildings for sale are to be seen around, quite surprising in comparison with the rest of the Philippines. I think if you have something down here, you're probably one of the last places you'd be looking to build on the holiday home. The volcano, a bit dangerous. By Monday, it was on level 2 on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 means that it's doing nothing, 2 means it's thrown its toys a little bit, up to 5 when it's actually a full-scale bloody murder plane. There are 2 camps off the side of the mountain. The first one, pretty close to the road, takes normally about an hour to walk. Currently, it takes 4 hours, and beyond which you cannot go. Camp 2 and the peak are actually off limits. Subsequently, I'm reading various reports about how likely it is to do something dangerous. But anyway, I did not climb the Mayon volcano. I did not climb Volcano 2 because of the off limits. So my trip is getting pretty well worn down at the moment. I just wonder where I'm going next. Anyway, the Gaspy, southward bound. The antiquated. Antiquated. Antiquated, yes. Our initial progress was hampered by the various streams of female martyrs congregating in the town square for International Women's Day, the 8th of March, clad in various forms of uniform, representing different groups. One of them with jackets made from newspapers and supported by bands dominated by boisterous drums. It was a peculiar display in a society so bound in tradition and rules, and yet pretending to be so liberal and first world. And then on, by jeepney, to a dusty court for a wait. What a wait. Besides the 2-hour delay all round, there was an unexplained siesta, followed by a period of false activity, or was it false non-activity? The ferry was half loaded. There was much activity, but nothing further. In fact, a lot of energy was going in, nothing was in fact happening. It was one of these amazing black holes of space. A final spurt, and we cast off very quickly. Somebody must have been bribed to let us go, past Lazy Islands, to the quiet fairy town of Allen. The sun had set, and after a short walk around town, a couple of beers were consumed, and I decided to head back. That's probably the easiest way of putting it. There was just an uncomfortable feeling about travelling down in this part of the world on my own. My plan would have been to travel down further east, along the east coast, and down towards Mindanao. But I was just getting enough of trying to stay wide awake 120% of the time. So, decided to get a plane back to Manila and get the hell out of this part of the world before something happened to me. And that was about it. Back in Manila, a period of time filling in various useless bits and pieces like the National Museum, which I had not seen the first time I was around. We did a very interesting display of the different ethnic groups in making up the Philippines. Contrary to popular opinion, wrongful popular opinion, the Philippines are not a unified nation. The Spanish did a very good job of getting them all under one Christian banner, except for the Mindanao Island to the south, which nobody ever seemed to try to do anything with. But the 7,000 islands are definitely too much for most people to cope with. But, yes, certainly the museum did add a bit of informative background knowledge to the different facial structures which I hadn't seen in that part of the world before they were attacked by a vicious insect. Then I did get to the Chinese cemetery. Now, not many people go to cemeteries, and I certainly never liked cemeteries myself. But the Chinese cemetery, situated in the north of Manila, is definitely worth a visit. Tourists are charged if they visit by bus, by car. So now you know there's something going on. And there is a ban on the use of cine cameras, but not normal cameras. Something funny about that. It is a small town, by all accounts. It has streets. It has street names. Street lights. It has litter bins, etc. The less affluent are buried in the ground, or in a long wall, which runs along one side of the complex. The But that is not why you are here, and that's what the ordinary Joe blocks. It is the one-story, sometimes two-story building. For each couple. Yes, I said one-story or even two-story buildings. A small cottage by any standards. With security guards. Cleaning service. Excellent. And the way you'd expect, the typical noise level of Manila is kept at bay to leave a very eerie feeling. Like corridor door. In the island, actually in the bay, this place definitely would have an eerie feeling after the night. And so comes to the end of this tape. I've decided just to keep the Philippines on this one tape as such. I leave the Philippines with very mixed feelings. There was one aspect which I enjoy tremendously. Leaving aside dynamics. But one aspect I did enjoy was the mountain province. What I did not enjoy was that heavy security aspect in most parts of the country. If you stick to the popular tourist areas, such as the wonderful beaches of Boracay, or perhaps even the island of Palawan to the southwest, you can perhaps have a very enjoyable trip. But if you start heading off and just off the beaten track into the more remote parts of the country, Filipinos refer to it as the last frontier. They have many last frontiers in the 7,000 odd islands. There is an unmistakable sense of caution about wherever you're going, particularly when traveling alone. For the first time, in fact, I've been out through Malaysia, Peninsula, Borneo, Sumatra, which is far from being a developed part of the world. And this was the first time that I felt that you gotta have your eyes in the back of your head. Manila's okay, it's just a big city. All big cities, you have to be careful. But out in the country, I normally expect it to be a bit more relaxed, a bit more easygoing. But not in the Philippines. Maybe time will change. I don't know. The country is mistakenly bound up in log jams into a historical process that just can't get out of. Economically, socially, politically, there's no sense of movement, there's no sense of activity in this part of the world. One of the few joys is, in fact, freedom of the press. Because in comparison to Malaysia and Indonesia, where there is a heavy level of self-censorship, it's better to censor it yourself before the government slaps your wrists. Philippines is a very free press, and very free and critical of its many corrupt politicians. As I was leaving the Philippines, the latest scandal I had was how come a whole pile of prisoners who had been under lock and key had become infected with AIDS, brought in by some prostitutes, supplied by friends. Anyway, the government was now paying for the medical checkup of these various people. But in every newspaper you pick up, there always was, a series of scams going on, whether it was somebody, senior police guy helping somebody escape custody or whatever. All quite at odds with what I've experienced in more Muslim countries so far. I don't think a religion is by chance the instigator of it. I think there's a culture, perhaps, of the people here, has left over the country without any sense of real purpose. Still, there will always be universe to see you, and life will probably go on, and the happy, smiling faces will continue to be happy and smile. I hope so.